Salutations, everybody, and welcome back. This is the Northern Miner Podcast, and I am your host, Matthew Keevil. Without further ado, I had a chance to bring in friend of the program again, Mickey Fulp, the mercenary geologist. Mickey does a lot of cool stuff, works out of the U.S. About half the year. So he's recently, as we'll hear on the little interview we did here, returned back to his home base, which is Albuquerque, New Mexico. Mickey Skyped in with us. We've got our new kind of Skype capabilities now, so we get some really good high quality audio from a distance. So now we can have people sort of call in from all over the place, and I'll have a chat with them, and we can do some really cool interview stuff. People, really good feedback last week on the interviews with Clive Johnson from B2 Gold and Rob McLeod from IDM Mining. Those went over really well, so thank you again for all your feedback. Those are really fun to do, and we will be continuing to do that. So I'll be looking for more CEOs and management to talk to, maybe get some sound clips and stuff like that, and move towards video. But for now, let's chime right in here with Mickey. Mickey Fulp, again, the mercenary geologist. I'll run this audio. We have about a 15-minute chat just about macro conditions, what his views on are in terms of copper, gold, etc., and what he's looking at in terms of investments right now. Like, he writes an investment newsletter, so when he's making recommendations, I sort of ask him, well, what are you recommending right now? So there's some interesting questions here, and we kind of go back and forth a little bit. It's a good conversation. So I'll run that now, and I will see you guys on the other side. We are lucky again this week. I am joined by the friend of the program, Mickey Fulp, the mercenary geologist, who's joining us today, actually, not abroad. I guess you're home, right, Mickey?
Yes, I'm at the farm in south of Albuquerque, New Mexico.
Well, Mickey, you know what? I want to start with you. Just we've seen that volatility in gold in the last week because of the Federal Reserve comments in Jackson Hole, Wyoming. We had the U.S. jobs report today, which was actually a little bit disappointing, I gathered, compared to expectation. But I just wanted to get a little bit of a sense from you on gold. We're at about $1,326 an ounce today. I think it was as low as about $1,300 almost a couple days ago. So maybe a little insight on where you see bullion and what's sort of going on down in the U.S. with the economy and the Federal Open Market Committee there.
Yeah, well, I think your take is correct in the fact that over the last month or so, we've seen some weakness in gold, but it's bounced up and down. It's very much range bound. I think it actually hit 1305 intraday within the last week. It's rallied over essentially this morning. It was stronger yesterday. It's over the last couple of weeks, its range closes from 1309 to 1352, and it got knocked down on speculation about the rise in interest rates, which personally I don't think is going to happen until after the election, and then it rallied today on a less than lustery U.S. jobs data report, or less than expected. Where it goes in the future, I'm not really sure. It looks pretty happy being range bound here. I'm looking at my weekly board, and since basically mid-September, it's been range bound in that 1300 to 1365 range. And seem to be able to get out of that.
Yeah, no, exactly. And it's interesting. I mean, I saw, you know, the opinions on this interest rate thing are all over the place. I mean, I saw Bill Gross, who people might know from Pacific Investment, come out in Bloomberg today and say, oh, I'm pretty sure there's going to be an interest rate in October or November now. And then you have people say, oh, there's a 57% chance. I love those percentages analysts put out, like a percentage chance on an interest rate hike. It's like, what is that based on? But they said by December. So I think it's interesting that you say you don't think it's going to come through at least until the election, right? Which is...
Yeah, I don't... You know, Yellen wants to keep her job, so she's not going to do anything. I think the federal policy right now is trying to maintain the status quo through the election. I've kind of gone on record in the recent past saying I don't think there's going to be an interest rate rise. Let's assume that it wouldn't happen until after the election. Do you think they're going to do one in the middle of December and at the end of shopping season? I doubt it. Then we have a newly elected president in waiting, in mid-January. So it would be my opinion that we won't see a rise before February. But if we do, it's a 0.25% rise. And that doesn't mean anything, you know. It's
it could affect your gold stocks, though.
Oh, absolutely, and that's where I was kind of heading here. So we also track the Toronto Venture Exchange on a weekly basis, and it's been quite interesting over the last couple of months. We had I'm looking at the board right now, from July 1 until basically last week, we had a 1, 2, 3, 4. An 8-week run of 52-week highs. Now, that does not directly correlate with gold stocks, but the venture exchange is really driven by gold. And it's backed off over the last couple of weeks. Well, lo and behold, what is that back off correlated with? It's the price of gold. Gold's been off the last couple of weeks for the most part. So that... when we look at gold stocks going forward, we're in the summer doldrums. This week, last week, the week before have been very low volatility, low volumes in the markets, even the major markets, although they've been setting yearly highs, they're a point or two. So what's going to happen next week when everybody comes back to work? I don't have a strong prediction, but I've been hoping for a correction in the Toronto Venture Exchange, because I think the gold stocks have been very much overbought. What we had over the last couple of weeks is a 7% decline in the Venture Exchange Index, and that does really not constitute a correction. And it correlates exactly with the price of gold if you go in and look. So.
Oh, yeah, he's got that chart. Yeah, I can imagine. Yeah. So Mickey, I mean, you mentioned it a little bit. I mean, when you look at value opportunity, I mean, we were here with Mickey Fulp, the mercenary geologist, has a great newsletter I recommend everyone check out. But when you're making recommendations these days, what are you sort of telling people who read your newsletter and who look to you for advice on what they should be doing in terms of, let's say, precious metals?
Well, I'll tell you what I'm doing. I'm proceeding cautiously. Gold stocks, with the exception of the startups and a few relatively unknown or unloved or unwanted, what I consider good stories, valuations are too high to me right now. Okay. So from that point of view, I think you need to tread cautiously. There are opportunities. I think the opportunities that present themselves at the present time are the trickle-down effect to some perhaps lower-level or less advanced juniors. But, man, I have to say that presumes that the bull market in commodities or the bull market in commodities led by gold and the venture exchange following on to the back of that, this presumes this is going to continue, and I really think it's going to be driven by the price of gold. And I don't have a strong opinion or feeling what price of gold's going to do. So tread cautiously, be a contrarian, pick things that are unknown, unloved, unwanted, and undervalued, and realize that this is a risky business. One of the indications that the market has changed significantly is that good drill results are being rewarded now. And we haven't really seen that for 2 or 3 years and there are some good projects out there. And so that's probably would be a general sweet spot in the market right now.
And then, Mickey, the other thing I wanted to kind of sort of dig into is I remember we sat down at the Yukon Investment Conference. This was back in mid-July. And one of the things you mentioned was it might have been a time to start looking at copper. And you said you were sort of looking at some undervalued copper plays. I mean, copper was it's been in the same as gold, same bracket for maybe 6 months or something, right? Between about 2 205 and 220 a pound. And so I was wondering, there's been a lot of macro information coming out on copper recently that indicates there might be more of an oversupply condition than people previously thought. So I'm just wondering if your investment thesis on copper as a macro commodity has changed at all.
Generally, Matt, my views of copper do not change on short-term time basis. Now, my predictions of copper price can change in the short term, but the thesis I operate under and have for quite some time is the consumption of copper grows annually 3-4% a year, and it has since 1900. Demand continues to increase. There's 85 million more people on the planet every year, and 25% of the world still goes to bed in the dark and gets up when it gets light in the morning and need copper to transmit electricity. So from that point of view, I remain a mid to long-term bull on copper. The thing about being a contrarian, as you well know, is you have to have patience. So, it would be something on the order of looking at gold when it hit its bottom of whatever it was, 1050 or something, and wondering when that was going to turn. Now, we were all surprised how quickly it turned. I don't think copper is going to turn that quickly, but the fact remains the world needs copper, and we're not finding enough copper deposits that are developable and with good economics. So from that point of view, not really, hasn't really changed.
So you're still sort of on the lookout for some nice sort of long-term hold copper assets if you can find them?
Oh, absolutely. And, if you look at some things the smart money is doing on the Toronto Venture Exchange, there's a couple of copper accumulators out there that are picking up good copper projects. And I think that is an indication of some of the longer term views on copper. There's a lot of misinformation, even amongst analysts and people that follow the copper market as to supply demand. It's probably one of the most transparent commodities, but that said, there's a veil of opaqueness that still kind of permeates the entire commodity space.
And the narrative too, right? How people sort of what you read. Like I mentioned at the onset, I've a few analysts and some of the, let's say, Bloomberg articles and things have portrayed this super oversupply of copper that's coming up, where it could go. I know some, let's not call them crazy people, but some outliers who think copper could go to $1.50 a pound, which is just seems ridiculous to me. But yeah.
Well, it does to me too. I mean, when it went to $1.96 a pound, and I'm pretty sure that was on January 20th of this year, I immediately called bottom. I immediately called bottom of WTI, West Texas Intermediate crude at 26 and 26.67 or whatever. You see these outliers on prices, and you say, "Well, the cost of production worldwide will not sustain that price very long because it's going to result in supply disruption." And the thing about both copper and oil is the world continues. We may have surpluses right now, but demand continues to be strong worldwide. And it's just a matter of time before demand catches up with supply.
Just to wrap up here, Mickey, I don't want to keep you too long. I know it's Labor Day weekend. We're all ready to get out of the office here, right? So I just wanted to – one of the other things I wanted to touch on that you'd mentioned previously with one of our sit-downs, I think it was at the UConn Investment Conference again, was that one of the, and you sort of touched on it earlier, was one of the things you really like is sort of looking at shells and like earlier stage investments as far as this stage of the market. And I'm wondering, when you're out there, obviously not mentioning anything specific, but trend-wise, are you seeing more stuff start out from, let's say, the qualifying transaction stage at this time? Have you seen more deal flow kind of moving into September here? Or?
Personally, I've not seen any more. I know of some stuff pending that I think perhaps will attract market attention. But to tell you the truth, Matt, I am at this stage having a relatively hard time of finding good stories that I consider to be unknown, unloved, undervalued, et cetera. So that's probably one of the reasons I've migrated toward startups. And the thing with startups, you want to associate yourself with the right people. So who have the ability and the right share structure and the ability to raise money for the proper or for acquisitions that will attract the attention of the market. One thing I think, and I'll use an analogy with, say, 2002 to early 2002 to mid 2003, and even into 2004, there were a lot of majors that were shedding project that didn't, that they considered it not to be core assets. So if past is prologue, then that might be a spot you want to look at. Are companies that are going to acquire projects that the majors shed.
Yeah. Well, Mickey, I would like to thank you again for joining us. This has been Mickey Fulp, the mercenary geologist, a ongoing friend of the Northern Miner podcast. So thanks again, Mickey, for joining us from Albuquerque, New Mexico.
Well, I consider myself lucky to have this working relationship with a Northern Miner, Matt, and I'm always available, and I find talking to you in the public venue to be at least refreshing, and it makes me think. So that's always good.
Always good. And Mickey, have a great Labor Day weekend, and we'll talk to you soon.
All right. Thanks a lot, Matt.
And welcome back. So yeah, it's always fun to talk to Mickey, and beneficial. Being from the U.S., he has good insights on the job market down there, sort of what the Fed's doing, some of the interest rate and election stuff. It's always cool to get some insight from somebody who lives in the country. So gold does appear to be range bound, and we were popping back up heading into September here. Was low, like we said during the interview there, it hit near 1300. Then later in the week rallied towards 1330, and we're looking like we're going upwards heading into this week. But again, we'll watch that range bound that Mickey mentioned of upwards of our 1350. So we'll keep our eyes on that. Should be interesting for September. So this has been Matt Keevil at the Northern Miner, and I'll talk to you soon.